be able to worship God, and especially to be able to take this time that we're about to have now with the Lord's Supper. We're going to be in Hebrews 10 this morning, if you want to go ahead and open up your Bibles up to that. Before we get into that, I wanted to talk about something that I think is admittedly maybe a little bit uncomfortable for us. And that is that around the end of the year, we all seem to collectively get this idea. It's this new year, new me kind of idea. And we all think, all right, this year, I really want to change something. This year, I'm going to get the gym membership. I'm going to show up January 1st, 6 a.m. I'm going to hit the weights super hard. It's going to be great. Or maybe we empty all the junk food, all the holiday food out of the fridge. We put a bunch of celery in there. And we get kale. We don't know what it is, but we put it in there anyway. And, you know, January 1st, like, I'm going to cook that kale, and I'm going to eat kale and quinoa. That's all I'm going to eat all year. We get ready for it, and flawed people. We feel bad that we're imperfect. But that only leads us to make more mistakes, because we look for answers, and somehow we come up with sin as the answer. So we get caught in that cycle. We just keep going, because sometimes we don't know what else to do. When we look at the case of the Israelites here, the devotion was true. They really did want to follow God. They really did want to do the right thing. But these sacrifices, they weren't making the cut. I want us to look back at this word shadow in verse 1. The law is only a shadow of the good things that are coming. So when we think about what a shadow is a shadow is, it's kind of an imitation of the real thing in some respects. It's just that light has been traveling 93 million miles all the way to this earth, and you have stopped it from making, you know, all the way to the ground, and it's now hit you and is casting this kind of black shadow behind you. So when we look at a shadow, we're not really able to get much detail out of it. It's kind of blurry, unfocused. And that's kind of what I want us to think about specifically as we read the rest of this text. This idea of the shadow as kind of an imitation of the real thing, but it's blurry. It's unfocused. We can't really get much detail out of it. We move on into verse 5. Therefore, when Christ came into the world, he said, "Sacrifice and offering you did not desire, but a body you prepared for me. With burnt offerings and sin offerings you were not pleased." And then I said, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." First he said, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." And then he said, "Here I am, I have come to do your will." He sets aside the first to establish the second. And by that will, we have been made holy through the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus makes it very clear here. Sacrifice is not the goal. Sacrifice is not desired. Which then the next logical question is, well, then why? Why would you ever sacrifice if that's not the goal? If that's not what we're supposed to do, why are we sacrificing at all? The writer here in Hebrews makes that very clear. He says in verse 8, "Sacrifices and offerings, burnt offerings and sin offerings you did not desire, nor were you pleased with them, although the law required them to be made." See, we know that the law is the precursor to the coming of Jesus Christ, that the law had to be in place before Jesus came. And I think it's kind of the idea that sometimes you have to walk before you can run. And that especially fits back into our workout metaphor we kind of started with. If you go January 1st and you try to run 10 miles, there's no way it's going to happen. You'll get about 3 in, maybe, and you'll quit. If it was me, I would get about half a mile in. Ooh, this is a lot harder than I thought it was going to be. I think I'm out. I think I'm done. But the law needed to be established first. What's important is that Jesus doesn't say, yeah, the law is not the full fulfillment of things. Sacrifice is not good. Sorry. That's it. I guess you're just stuck with the imperfect. But instead, as you can read in verse 7 here, Christ says, "Here I am. It is written about me in the scroll. I have come to do your will, O God." So in the place of this sacrifice that is not solving the problem of sin, which is not making sin something of the past, God says, "That's not working. Here I am. I'm here to do God's will. I'm here to try to fix it. I'm here to do what I can." Verse 11 now. day after day, every priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again, he offers the same sacrifices which can never take away sin. When this priest had offered for all time one sacrifice for sin, he sat down at the right hand of God. Since that time, he waits for his enemies to be made his footstool, because by one sacrifice he has been made perfect forever those he has made perfect forever those who are being made holy. So again in verse 11, we see this day after day the priest stands and performs his religious duties. Again and again he offers the same sacrifices. See, the Israelites were caught in this, in the sacrificial system. And the sacrificial system was important at one point. The law was necessary at one point. The old law was. But at some point, these sacrifices were being performed over and over and over, and they were not solving the problem of sin. And then again, Jesus steps in. He doesn't leave us just stuck. He doesn't leave us stuck in the shadows. But he says, "Here I am. I'm here to fix it." He doesn't get rid of the priesthood. He doesn't say, "Well, you guys are priests. That's not really cutting it. Just forget about the priesthood." But instead, he comes as our high priest and says, "I'm going to fix this. I'm going to make this new. I'm going to show you what we need to do instead. How do we fix it?" Jesus' goal was not destruction. It was fulfillment. It was fixing. It was focusing. As people, we are constantly struggling with things in our life. Constantly struggling with our purpose, what we're here to do, our aspirations. Just like the way that we say, "New year, new me." We constantly see things in our life and we say, "This is not right. I know that I'm meant for more than this. I know I can do better than this." And so we grasp, we try to find a way to make that happen. We, you know, maybe we do that by self-help books. Maybe we do that by talking to the people around us. We have lots of different ways we try to do that. But when it comes to our purpose in life, when it comes to what we're here on this earth to do and why we're here, anything that we grasp in this world around us is nothing but a shadow. Like I said, the shadow, it can be an imitation of the real thing. It can look kind of close. You know, I like to think about, as a kid, you know, you make shadow puppets on the wall. You know, so you tilt over the flashlight, you tilt over a lamp, whatever it is, and you start making little shapes with your hands. And somebody would look at that and they'd be like, "Hey, what is that?" And you're like, "It's a dog." And you almost want to think, "Is that really a dog?" I guess it's up to personal interpretation. But sometimes we look at the shadows of things in our life and we say, "That's a dog." When sometimes we know it's not a dog. We know it just looks kind of like a dog. But you know, with the shadow puppet, at least I made it. I had some kind of influence in that, right? I made that little dog. That's my little dog that I made out of my hand that's showing on the wall behind me. Sometimes I think the reason that we also follow the shadows is sometimes I think we don't know what else to do. We don't know where else to look. So instead of looking nowhere, we look at the world around us and we say, "I know this is not the real thing. I know this is not exactly what I need to be going for, but it's better than nothing. It's better than nothing." Next week, I think everybody knows. If you don't, I'm going to tell you right now. We have Bring a Friend Sunday. We have a time for our visitors to be welcomed in here with open arms, to come here to church and to experience God's love. And I think it's easier for us to sometimes feel like the people around us, maybe they've had interactions with God, maybe they know who God is, but they just haven't had great experiences with it. So we say, "Yeah, I understand you've had a bad experience. I understand you don't really want to do that." And so it becomes easy for us to say, "Maybe I don't talk to them about it. Maybe we don't talk about that because I know it's going to be uncomfortable." But I think if we start looking at the people around us and we start seeing them as people who are trying to find answers but are just following shadows, they're just looking at a shadow puppet on the wall of a very, very poorly named dog, maybe. They're looking at that and they're thinking, "I found it. I found what I'm supposed to do." And all they're staring at is a shadow. And so we come to them and we say, "Hey, that's not the real thing." We don't do that because we don't love them. We do that because we do love them. Nobody wants to spend their entire life chasing after the imitation. We want the real thing. And if we're going to find the real thing, we can only find that in Jesus Christ. Because in the things that we can do, anything that we can do all our own, anything we can do all by ourselves, it's only a shadow. It cannot be the real thing. Because as Jeff was saying earlier, we cannot do it alone. That's why Christ came and did it. Christ came and fixed it. He died on the cross for our sins so that we might be saved, so that we might have salvation. But we can't find it in the shadows. We can only find it in the one true light. If you're serving on the table today, please come forward. I'm going to go ahead and finish out a few verses here. Verse 15, the Holy Spirit also testified to us about this. First, he says, this is the covenant I will make with them. After that time, says the Lord, I will put my laws in their hearts, and I will write them on their minds. Then he adds, their sins and lawless acts I will remember no more. And where these have been forgiven, there is no longer any sacrifice for sin. See, Christ desires us to do what works. He desires us to do something that gets rid of sin forever instead of simply pushing it off another year, pushing it off another year. And Christ doesn't leave us to do that alone, but he offers us relationship. He offers us this time here to remember the sacrifice that forever got rid of sin, that saves that sin for all time. He gives that to us now. Now is the time to remember that. Now is the time to remember that the only reason we have something to look for in our lives, the one true light that we can look to, it comes from Christ and from his sacrifice.